Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word.
Matthew 6:24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Isn't that good? So we need to deny ourselves, you know, to be able to be led by the Spirit, don't we? We don't need to be sitting there letting self get in the way. We need to let the Holy Spirit guide us. If we're going to be led by the Lord, we need to put self down and let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us. Amen. It's easy to go by what we think, but it's important to go by what he says, and we need to be patient on him. Matthew 6:24-26 in the Message says, "Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am." Isn't that good? He's the driver. He should be the driver of everything that you do. Amen. And when you get up in the morning, you should let him guide you. I remember a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and he got up one morning and a reporter was just kind of following him around through the day. And the reporter's like, "What's he doing?" He went down the park and he just started, sat on a bench and he just started feeding some pigeons there. And he's like, "What is he doing?" Well, somebody came and sat beside him and he led him to the Lord. Well, what if he hadn't have got up and suddenly went to the park? You know, that person may not have got led to the Lord. And it's amazing. God will put you at the right place at the right time if you let him lead you, you know. I remember my brother, he would get lost all the time, you know, in his car. You know, we didn't have GPSs when he started, when he was 16 driving his car. And he would get lost, you know, and he'd have to call up my dad, you know. And my dad knew everywhere to go. He'd driven routes and bread routes and all kinds of different routes. He had a company, actually, that delivered towels to all kinds of different restaurants, you know. But he knew directions really well all around the city, you know. And my dad was a very experienced driver, and he could get my brother home, you know, and he would get lost on the south side of town, you know, but he would guide him back, you know, and help him have directions, you know. Well, God's a whole lot better driver than we are, isn't he? And he's got a whole lot more experience in this world. He's been guiding people through this world for years, you know, and he can guide you and direct you into your dreams and your goals and help you reach the things that you're trying to reach, but you need him to guide you. So that means we have to take a back seat, doesn't it? We have to let him guide us and be the driver. And it's so important that we are able to do that. Amen. And take the back seat and let him do everything that we need in our lives. Amen. Say amen. Look at somebody. Say amen if they're next to you there. If not, look in the mirror. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God knows everything, doesn't he? Let's look at Revelations 1:8 real quick. Revelations 1:8. I'll let you flip through your tablet there. Turn the page in your Bible and get over there with me. Revelations 1:8 says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Isn't that good? Well, he's telling you that he's the beginning, he's the end. If he's the beginning and the end, he knows your future. He knows where you're at. Where you're going isn't somewhere he didn't already understand. You know, so it's important to get on his path, you know, and be where he wants us to be. Look at Revelation 1:8, the Message. It says it like this. The Master declares, "I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign and strong." Amen. And he is strong. Amen. He's strong in power and might, but he's the God from A to Z. And he knows everything in the middle, doesn't he? And so he knows exactly where you need to be. And so it's important that you let him guide you. So like I said, we're looking at the need for us to understand that we need to be led by him. Why do we need to be led by him? Because he knows everything, doesn't he? I sure wouldn't want to serve the devil. He doesn't know everything, but God knows everything, you know. The devil even gets confused about it because God knows everything, you know. He said if he'd known, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Think about that. He didn't even know, but God knows. God knows everything, doesn't he? And he was able to pull that off, and he made a show of him openly, didn't he? Praise the Lord. Amen. We're celebrating that on Resurrection Day, how the devil was made a show of openly. Amen. And God made him a spectacle in front of everybody. And we'll talk more about that on Sunday. Praise the Lord. I'm a little excited about Sunday. I love Resurrection Day. Do you love Resurrection Day? I love Resurrection Day. That's one of my favorite holidays to celebrate. Praise the Lord. And I know we're celebrating a little different, but we're going to have a good time on Sunday. come back with us and enjoy Sunday with us. Ephesians 2:10, if you'll turn over there real quick. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to get a drink here. Hold on just a second. Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath preordained that we should walk in them." You know, God's preordained a lot of things, hasn't he? You know, if he's the beginning and the end, he's preordained our steps, hasn't he? You know, and it's important that we get in the steps that he wants for us. Now, it breaks it down a whole lot better in the Amplified, and this is one you probably want to put on your refrigerator as well and on the front of your car. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestinated, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Does he have a good life for us? Yes, he does. He has a path that's prearranged and picked for us, praise the Lord. And I like how he says, living the good life. You know, that he has a plan that's prearranged and picked for us, and there's a good life in that plan. There's a plan that's also, that's not a good life, isn't there? That makes you think, doesn't it? There's a path you shouldn't take, isn't there? And there's some people on that path right now, and I wish that they'd hear me with my voice right now to know you need to get on the good path. We have a good shepherd, and he wants to get you on that good path. Amen. I don't know what someone's ever told you, you know, but he is a good shepherd. You know, looking at some Christians, you know, you think, man, he is that a good shepherd? No, he is a good shepherd. He's got good things for your life, and he can make your life wonderful. Amen. You know, you have to get around him, you know, just get around him for a little while. If you know, the people that are beat down and have all kinds of troubles, you know, they really don't know the Father like I know the Father. You know, I know the Father good enough to know he's a good shepherd. He's good to me. And I'm telling you, he'll be good to you. Praise the Lord. But there is a good life for us all, but we need to be led by him. If there's a good path, like I said, there's a bad path. You know, we don't want to get bad results. You know, if you get on the bad path, you're going to have bad results. But if you're on the good path, you're going to have good results and let God, he'll guide and direct you. Let's look over here at Genesis 13:2. And when that's talking about Abraham, and talks about the story with Abraham a lot, that's very interesting. You know, the reason why we need him is because we can't make good decisions on our own. And Lot kind of shows us that in this story. This is a very interesting story here in Genesis 13. Genesis 13:2 says like this. It says, "Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold." What does it say? It says Abraham was what? Did the Bible say he was rich? Why is it hard for Christians to even say that word, you know? Abraham was rich. Does God want all his people rich? Yeah, I imagine it probably went kind of quiet there when I said that. Well, let's look over in Acts 10 real quick here. Yeah, we'll take a little side journey real fast. Acts 10, 34 through 35. And this is a story of Peter here when he had that vision. And listen to what Peter says here. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." That's a pretty interesting thing to know about God, isn't it? That tells you about his character. He's not a respecter of persons. He says, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God doesn't do something for someone else and not you, does he? If God wanted to make Abraham rich, he wants to make you rich. Praise the Lord. I like how the Message interprets this scripture. This is really interesting. It says, Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. Think about that. He plays no favorites. He doesn't do something for someone and not do it for someone else, does he? God doesn't heal someone and not make it available to all his children, does he? You know, you say, well, man, that person got healed, you know, and I don't know if he'd do it for me. Yeah, he would do it for you. If he did it for one of his children, he would do it for you, wouldn't he? God doesn't make Abraham rich and not want to make you rich. He wants to make all of his children rich. God doesn't set someone free and not offer it to all his children. You know, the Bible says who the Son has set free is free indeed. Maybe some of you are dealing with some bondage right now, you know. Well, you know, he didn't just free someone and not free someone else. You know, he wants to free all of his children, praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. So be it's what amen means. So be it. God does not play favorites, does he? Say that out of your mouth. He doesn't play favorites. No, he doesn't play favorites. I know I have two children, you know, and it's very tough. I have a son that's about to turn 22 this month, and I also have another one that's 10 years old, you know, and I try not to play favorites. You know, I don't want to like, well, hey, I'm going to buy this for this one on his birthday and not spend the same amount as this one on his birthday, you know. And, you know, that's the way the father is. You know, he wants to take care of all of his children equally because he don't want them to think, well, hey, I love someone more. You know, he's a good shepherd and he cares about how all of his kids feel. You know, he may be surprised, but he cares about how you feel. He loves you. He's thinking about you right now. You know, I was driving one time. I was going down the road and I was thinking about my wife and I was like, man, I want to get her this and I want to get her that. And I just want to bless her, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, well, that's the way I think about you, Jeremiah. He says, I'm thinking about you and thinking about things I want to do for you all the time. Isn't that good? God always cares about the things that you care about. He loves you, doesn't he? He created you in his image. So you're very special to him. Genesis 13:5 in the King James Version says, and Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. That's interesting that what he said there. He said, notice, you know, you look at it, notice Lot just being around Abraham got blessed. He had flocks and herds and tents just being around him. But he makes a bad decision, doesn't he? Let's look at Genesis 13, the seventh verse. We're kind of skipping around a little bit here. Genesis 13, and go on down the seventh verse. It says, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Isn't that interesting? You know, Abraham didn't want any strife. I think that's a really good thing for all of us to look at, you know, because we really don't need any strife in our house, do we? You know, Abraham wanted, he didn't want it at all, and he wanted to straighten it out. That's a very intelligent person when he's going to take control of the situation and he's going to straighten it out. You know, if we have strife in our homes, we need to straighten that out. We need God to help us, you know, because God wants us to walk in unity. You know, he wants us to work together. You know, if you look through the Bible, all through the New Testament, you'll talk about, he talks about one mind and being in one spirit and being in unity, you know, because, you know, he talks about how angels or even more angels are released, even in our prayers, you know, if we can come together and pray together, you know, everything needs to be in unity. God loves unity. He don't like his kids fighting, does he? He likes his kids to work together. So let's look on here. He says, and not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left land, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, Lot makes a choice here. And Lot lift up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Now, Lot looks up, and he sees this beautiful land, and he says, I'll take that land over there, Abraham. Now, this was a very bad decision. He decides to separate himself from Abraham. Abraham's a very blessed man, has a covenant with God. And, you know, he was being blessed just being around Abraham. Now he's decided, well, hey, I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to take this beautiful land, and I'm going to set up over here. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mur, I hope I'm saying that right, which is in Hebron. I don't know if I said that right. And built there an altar unto the Lord. As soon as he gets there, he builds an altar to the Lord. I love Abraham. He had a wonderful spirit about him. Now Lot thinks he's doing a great thing for himself, but in reality, it's a bad idea. Let's look at Genesis 14 here. And the 10th through the 12th verse, it says, and the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they remained fled to the They that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. But Abraham found out. Now, what is interesting here is that Lot made his own decision, which we always do. We have decisions to make every day, don't we? you know, but he decided to make his own decision. And this is what I wanted us to look at. You know, it's so easy for us, you know, as believers and Christians to make our own decisions, you know, but we need to make decisions being led by the Spirit. Do you ask God, you know, do you take time and ask him about things? Do you take time and listen to him sometimes? You know, he wants to guide us and lead us. Lot made his own decision by just looking, and it looked pretty, didn't it? He had a beautiful land he was looking at. Looked like it had, it looked like one of the most beautiful areas to go to. It looked like wonderful land, a wonderful place to dwell. But he was being led by himself. He gets there, not using any wisdom, and he ends up losing everything, doesn't he? If you read on through here, he ends up losing everything. He loses his all of his stuff. He loses his family, all because of one choice he made without being led by the Lord. Very interesting. So Abraham finds out about it. You want to hear the rest of the story? Let's look at it. Genesis 14, 13. Abraham was a very serious covenant man. He made a covenant with God. And he was a very serious person about his covenant and his family. Genesis 14, 13, it says, there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew. So somebody escaped from all this, you know, from Lot and getting losing everything. And they escaped and they go and tell Abraham. For he dwelt in the plain of Merm and Amorite, the brother of Eshcol. These are always really easy to pronounce. The brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abraham. Now, Lot has really got himself into a situation, and it's a bad decision. Have you ever made a bad decision today? I know I have. I've made several bad decisions, you know. I hate to admit it, but I've made several bad decisions, you know. But what's great about that is God will get you right back on path. You know how many times he's had mercy on me, even though I've made bad decisions? Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that he does have mercy on you, even though you make a bad decision? But, you know, you have to make decisions, you know. You can't just go without making any decisions every day. But, you know, you can make good decisions if you'll take the time and let him lead you. And, you know, like we're talking about, you know, our need is for him. Our need is for him to give us direction. Amen. This is why we need to be led. Lot lost everything because he made a bad decision. He lost all of his stuff. The Bible even says he lost all of his women. I guess he had more than one wife. But thank God for Abraham. Genesis 14, the 14th verse, and this kind of represents God's grace. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Now, Abraham was very rich. Okay, look what he says here. Born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He had 300 servants, and he says, we're going to go get them. Now, he's going against armies. And he decides, I'm going to take my 300 servants, and we're going to go get these guys for just taking Lot, my brother. That's amazing, isn't it? But he wasn't a fearful man, was he? Abraham wasn't, and he didn't have any spirit of fear. He got his 300 servants and said, we're going to go get Lot. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them to Haba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. He went and took them down. He brought back all of Lot's stuff. He brought back all of Lot's women and he brought back all of his servants. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's the grace of God. Even though you messed up, he comes out and helps you get out of a situation, doesn't he? This shows God's mercy, doesn't it? This shows the need of God as our deliverer. This shows the need of God to help us make good decisions, isn't it? We need him to help us to be led. Let's look over to 1 John 2:20. He knows everything, and he also makes us to know everything, doesn't he? And we're going to be talking about in our next message about how he guides us. Have you ever wanted to know how he speaks to you? Have you ever wanted to know how he leads you and guides you? Well, we're going to be talking about that in the next message, and we're going to break that all down for you so you can be led. 1 John 2:20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Did he say some things? No, he says, you know all things. You know, that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us as he guides us, just jumping ahead a little bit, and he is there to help us to know all the things that we do know. We just need to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So we know that we have a real need for God every day, don't we, by listening to this message. We need him to guide us and direct us in everything that we do, praise the Lord, and everything that we want to get to and what we want to accomplish in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy again, Father. We just thank you, Father. Lord, we ask that you help everybody out there to see that they have a special need for you and they need you to guide them and direct them, Father. We don't have all the answers, but you do. You know exactly what to do, Father. And we just thank you, Father, for that. If there's somebody out there that's not saved, just say that, just pray this prayer with me there. You just need to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, which we're celebrating on Sunday. And then you need to say this after me. God, I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. If you pray that, you're welcome to the family of God. And you can email us here at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for your time. And you have a wonderful day.
If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.